this be informed.
Amen. Amen.
Before we go any further, I'd like for us to stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We know that your word is blessed. If God give us ears tonight to hear what the Spirit saith unto us, use us to thy glory. Our lips and our tongue, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for you know what we have need of, and we rebuke and bind the powers of darkness. Lord, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And O God, as we pray, as your word, O God, continue, Lord, to encourage and comfort and lead and guide our pastor in this time of bereavement, Lord, and the entire family. Let them be on one accord in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray.
Thank you.
Amen. You might have to forgive me. I think I'm an advocate to put up. Get my old man look out there. The light's not too great here. Thank you, sister. You already have it up there. But it's so dim here, I have a hard time reading. I wish we've heard many times that we all striving to make it. We all have come a long way. We all have just been through things. It's not the same for everybody, but it's the same God.
Amen.
It's the same God. For God says, I am God and I change not. And tonight I'm just going to briefly bring forth a few points. But you know, I wish I had the time to talk to you about my story. We all have one. About all the tests and trials that we've been through. But out of them all, God has delivered us. The thing tonight seems to be on prayer. We heard it mentioned before our pastor left. We heard it tonight. And we just constantly hear people and the saints of God say, pray for me. Or pray for the praise team. Pray for the pastor. We need to pray one for another. And you know, prayer, when we have communication with one another, one thing about prayer is communication with God. Prayer is communication with God. Now, we are to be close to God. Now, if we rise in the morning in our residence, and we go for hours, and we go throughout the day, and we don't speak to our wife, or our spouse, or our husband, or our children don't speak, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Something is not right. We are to be close to God. Elijah says that in speaking with God in a meditative form, he said, when his heart was burdened, he said that the word of God said it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the wind. And a lot of times when we want to hear from God, we expect such drama. Even when Moses took the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, their hearts were filled with fear because of the lightning and the fire and the smoke that came from Mount Sinai. But Elijah said in the word of God in Kings, he said, it came in a small, still voice. Now, if you and I have a conversation, if you and I have something to say to each other, and we are close, supposed to be close. You can't hear me if you're standing in the back of the church. If you are close to me and you whisper in a small, still voice, common sense lets us know that you have to be close.
Right.
We have to be close to God. For God does speak to our heart. It may not come the way we want, but we must be close to God. And when we say we are close, or we have a friend that is supposed to be close, and as I mentioned before, if we have goals throughout the day and we don't speak, I said something is wrong. And if we have a close friend, and the Bible says Jesus is closer than a brother. But if we have a close friend and we don't talk for days, if we don't communicate for days, if we don't communicate, a close friend, they usually communicate all throughout the day, many times, several times a day. But if that communication is not there, something must be wrong. So the Word of God lets us know that prayer is a solemn request. Prayer is a solemn request for help, or it's an expression of thanks addressed to God. I would like for you to turn to the book of Isaiah, and I would like for you to read with me as we read, because we have different, we don't have time to cover everything that we would like to cover, or the whole entire aspect of prayer. But I just want to hit on a few things. And as we see in the book of Isaiah, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick. Hezekiah was a king and had endured many situations and knew how to pray to God. But it says that Hezekiah was sick unto death. And we need to have become accustomed to praying and asking God for deliverance before it even comes to such a drastic measure or point unto death. Some people don't pray until it comes time for death. There's some people say they don't believe in God. But let that trailer truck be coming towards you down that highway and you see it coming head on. The first words out of your mouth is, oh God. I don't care if you're an atheist, but the first words come out of your mouth is, oh God. Or Jesus help. But in those days when Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order. In other words, get your affairs together. Isaiah really didn't have much good news for him. He said, set your house in order, for thou shalt die. Can you only imagine if you received that news today, if the doctor says you only have a certain amount of days to live? It said that Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now. And God is a God that doesn't forget.
Come on.
People may forget, but God doesn't forget. And God knows our heart. Not God knows how real we are.
Come on.
God knows if we are pretending or not.
Come on.
God knows if we are a hypocrite or not.
Mm.
But he says, I beseech thee. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. This wasn't a prayer, a passive prayer. This was a fervent prayer where he turned a perfect heart. And he went on to say, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, when you go to the bank and you want to get a loan, when you ask for that loan, you fill out an application. And what they do, they have a credit check to see if you are worthy of that loan. And if they do a credit check and you are not worthy, you're not getting that loan. But they do a credit check to see how your credit is, see if you are worthy of receiving that loan. Hezekiah did a credit check.
Come on.
God did a credit check, a spiritual credit check. He was able to say, God, do you remember how holy I lived before you, how I walked before you, how I obeyed your word? And a lot of times we are paralyzed with guilt. And we don't believe God will answer our prayer, but God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. Hallelujah. But it's a beautiful thing that when we pray, that we know spiritually our credit is good with God. That everything is all right. That I have walked up before you. That I have been faithful, Lord. I have done what you said. I walk according to thy word. And your word says, ask, and it shall be given. And it says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. And God looked back and saw that he had, that Hezekiah had walked upright before him and in resemblance of David. Hezekiah was a man of God who he strove to do the right thing. When he became king, he followed in his father's footsteps to the point of destroying ungodliness, the idols. I'm trying to think of a word. The groves in the mountains and hills where they would go and worship. Hezekiah set out to destroy and bring down strongholds. And he says that he was walking somewhat like in the footsteps of David. And he said, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. And that's one thing the devil tries to deceive us of, as though God didn't hear our prayer.
Come on.
Try to make us feel God doesn't hear, or you're not worthy, and try to paralyze us with guilt. But he says that, David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. And he goes on, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 15 years. And Isaiah came back and let Hezekiah know that God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer, and he's going to add 15 more years. Let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Prayer is also transforming. Prayer is transforming. And I go to this scripture because of the fact of the greatest example that there can be. The Bible says, Mark, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Mm-hmm. Now, to transform, it means to make a thorough and dramatic change. To make a thorough and dramatic change. Transform means to change. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed.
Come on, come on.
Means change. And sometimes we might want to question some people that say they have the Holy Ghost and they've been born again, and there's no change.
All right.
But the Bible says we become new creatures. All things are done away. The Word of God is transforming. Prayer transforms.
Yes.
All right? And we see here that Jesus went into the garden and he began to pray as his heart was so heavy. But back to transforming. I spoke of a dramatic change in the form, but not only the form, but also the appearance. All right? And your character. See, when we're born again, our character should change.
Okay.
See, when we are born again, our appearance should change.
Come on, come on.
How we used to talk should change.
Come on.
How we used to dress should change.
Come on.
We put off what is said, the old man, and put on the new man. And some of our friends wonder why. What happened to you? Even your character. You're not the same person anymore.
Hallelujah.
You don't go to the, you don't come to the club anymore.
Come on.
You don't smoke weed with us anymore.
Uh-huh.
All right? They wonder why we don't run to the same excess of ride anymore. How come we don't do the same things anymore? But do you know, even as I stand here tonight, before I got saved, somebody prayed for me.
Come on now.
Somebody prayed for me.
Hallelujah.
I'll never forget when my mother would walk up to the altar when I was in my early 20s. And I would come to my hometown and visit the church. And when they had called altar prayer, my mother could barely make it up to the altar. And she would just stagger up to the altar. And I'll never forget that the pastor used to always tell me that when he would ask my mother, "Mother, what can we pray for you? What you have need of? What you need us to pray for?" And he said, she always said, "Pray for my children." Her body racked in pain, limping to the altar. It wasn't about her. She said, "I want God to save my children." And said, "I want to see them saved before I leave here."
Right.
And God saved all of us before she left.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But see, there's the transforming. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Your mind changes,
yes, sir,
through the power of the Holy Ghost. But I want to get back to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ in the garden says, Jesus says, "I came to do the will of my Father."
Amen.
See, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price.
Amen. Amen.
We can't do with what we want to do with ourselves.
Come on.
We are not our own. He said, Jesus was praying. He says, "Father, if thou be willing." See, Paul says we die daily. We have to kill this flesh.
Mm.
We have to overcome this flesh.
Come on.
And if we are sincere and want to walk upright before God, if you want to be saved, God will save you.
Yes, sir.
If you want change, God will change you.
Amen.
If you want to live holy and walk upright before God, God will answer your prayer. God will give you the desires of your heart according to his word. And we see that Jesus prayed. He says, if he had a struggle going on. There was a battle going on here. There was a war going on, overcoming the flesh. There was a transformation getting ready to take place. And the flesh, the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Man.
And first, that was the flesh talking. Can you remove this thing? Will you remove this thing? And it says here, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Cup, it meant suffering.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was in agony.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, here's what I want to point out about this. See, when we pray and ask God for deliverance, we know it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be all good. Now, there's two things that can happen. God will either remove what is in your way. He'll remove it out of the way, or he'll give you grace to go through it. Paul says God's grace is sufficient. He said, I prayed 3 times because Satan was buffeting me. And I prayed that God would remove it, but God didn't remove it. But what God did gave him grace to go through. Saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Now, when we pray, we know, now Jesus, when he prayed, when we pray, we expect a blessing. But Jesus knew that this was not going to be removed. He knew of the agony that he was getting ready to confront. So it wasn't so much a prayer of removing. That was the flesh speaking. But he said, remove this cup from me. And here's the transformation word. Amen. Nevertheless. Change just took place. Hallelujah. If it's your will, remove this cup. But something happened.
Come on.
Something happened at that moment. A transformation took place. And when we pray, transformation takes place. Now, it may not be the moment you want it. We'll come to that. But nevertheless, not my will. All things, the Bible says, works together for the good of those that love God. According to who? His? Whose? His purpose.
Amen.
And we need God saving from my purpose.
Come on. Come on.
Saving from my purpose. Thy will be done. Many times I prayed. I said, I don't know how I can go through this thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But sometime in praying, when you pray, sometime the Bible lets us know. Sometimes we moan and groan. Sometimes the words just don't come out. I just don't know, Lord Jesus. And that's why the Bible says the Spirit make intercession for us.
Come on.
Knows what's in our heart. And there had been many times, the devil almost make you feel like you just give up. And I'm telling you, this week, I mean, the enemy came in like a flood this week. The enemy came in like a flood today. But the word of God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God said, I will lift up a standard against
him.
God said, I already made a way of escape.
All right.
But he says, when that transformation took place, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, doing what? Strengthening him. Strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. It is known that people in or under high stress and agony can actually sweat. The sweat glands and the blood vessels are so tiny in the skin, especially in your face, that they can actually burst and they will mingle with the blood, and you actually can sweat drops of blood. Now, we may have not experienced that, but if you have the sins of the whole world on your shoulder,
Come on.
That's a different story. It's called hematropesis. You actually can sweat drops of blood. And it says that he drops of blood falling down to the ground. But I just want to show you the transformation through prayer. Pray, saints of God. Pray in the morning. Pray in the noonday hour. Pray at night. The Bible says men ought to always pray and not faint. Just because the prayer wasn't answered at the time you desire, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't be a Sarah. Let go and let God have his way. I had a cousin in the Air Force, and he said they had empty crates that used to lie around the base. And he said one of the soldiers had a boa constrictor, about 6 feet long, and he kept it in one of these empty crates. And they could, at that time, they could purchase rats or mice to feed the snake. And they would let the snake, for a prolonged time, go hungry. And they got, they would purchase a rat, and they would take this rat and drop it into that cage or that crate. And that rat, when he would be dropped into that crate, and he would see that snake, they say he would scamper around. If it took a half hour or 20 minutes, he would scamper around. And he said the snake wouldn't even make a move. But when that mouse, or whenever that rat would exhaust itself to the point it couldn't move anymore, had no more strength, then the snake would make us move. And a lot of times when we put something in God's hands, we need to stand still. We need to let go and let God. Keep on praying. And after you pray, you look back and it's still there. Keep on praying. All right? Because when you try to handle yourself, God will sit back and let you exhaust all your means until you finally find out that you can't do this yourself, that you need the help of God, and then God will make his move. But we got to leave it in God's hands. We played a game we used to call chicken. And we used to, when we were young children, foolish thing. I can't even remember why I even did it. But we used to put a foot forward. We'd have somebody take a knife. You know about it?
Yeah.
And they would throw that knife at your foot and see how close they could come to your foot and see if they could make you move or flinch. If you flinched or you moved, they called you a chicken. The devil trying to play chicken with you. But see, the devil has one of them Boy Scout penknives with all kinds of blades on it. Unbelief, doubt, fear. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why we got to hold up that shield of faith and quench all them fiery darts and tell the devil, get up in his face and tell him he's a liar. Hallelujah. Doesn't the Bible say he's a deceiver? That he's a liar? You know, misery loves company. The devil's miserable because he knows God's word. He believes God's word. He knows there's no help for him. There's no change. He knows he's going to hell. And he wants to take you along. And he wants to make your life just as miserable as his life is miserable. But the devil is trying to make you flinch. But don't flinch. Leave it in the hands of God. Daniel, the 10th chapter, right? Just about ready to close here. Daniel, the 10th chapter. Now, I want to talk to you about Daniel, but I got to be careful about it because you can get into some deep stuff with Daniel. Daniel understood visions. And this vision, Daniel understood. Let me back up a verse and show you something here. It says, in the 10th chapter of Daniel, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was what? Revealed. So it was revealed unto Daniel. Daniel knew what was about to happen. And the vision revealed to him about many, many wars that were going to take place. But not only in the near future, but far off. Daniel was able to, in a vision, see the Antichrist movement and to overthrow Jerusalem. And it burdened him. Even some fear came upon him, but it burdened and grieved him. And Daniel prayed. Daniel was a man that prayed. The Bible says he prayed 3 times a day. But anyways, the Bible lets us know here that it says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. It was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true. God's word is true. But the time appointed was long. The time it was going to happen was a long way off. And he says, where we at here?
He understood this.
And he understood the thing. He understood this. Okay? And it says, and had understanding of the vision. Next verse. The next verse following that. Okay. And so Daniel began fasting and he prayed. And it says, I ate no peasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Next verse. And in the 4th and 20th day of the 1st month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekah, which in other words is river Tigris. And then I lifted up mine eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the pearl, and his face as appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. So it reminds you of somebody else here. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. In other words, they started quaking and shivering.
All right.
Sounds like the Apostle Paul.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But a great quaking, the men didn't see what Paul saw.
Come on.
I want to tell you something. When you get close to God, God will take you some places and show you some things. Let me say this real quick. I was at some college students invited me to a little Bible class or something in a home and so on, and the pastor was there, and this pastor was saying that he was out of work and he needed work, and he put in applications and so on, and God spoke to my heart and tell that man that before the end of the month he's going to have a job. I'm like, what? I don't do this. And I spoke up, and it seemed like the presence of God came on me, and I spoke up and said, God told me to tell you, by the end of the month, you will have a job. And I'll never forget driving home that month. I mean, driving home that day, it hit me. I said, the end of the month, that's 3 days from now. What did I just do? When I got home, I had emails from that pastor saying, I went home. It was either I got emails or the next time I saw him, he said, that night when I went home, I had 4 or 5 job offers on my computer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I'm no greater or better than anybody else. Just like Paul said, it's the God of Abraham. It's the God of Jacob. It's not of our power. I'm a man just like you. I told Elder Matthew about this, and I'll tell you real quick. I went home from here one day. I drove home. We went home on a Monday. And when we got home in Endicott, after driving there, I told my wife, I said, I got to go down to the pharmacy. I went down to the pharmacy. When I went to the pharmacy, the pharmacists were on break. I sat out in the parking lot. Then I made a phone call, and I got tired of waiting. I said, well, let me drive up the highway. Let me go to the bank. I'm driving up the highway. There's 3 lanes. One to the far right is a turnoff lane. I'm in the passing lane, and as I'm heading in one direction, I see a police car heading toward me. It makes a turn in front of me. All of a sudden, I'm in the right lane. All of a sudden, I'm in a turnoff lane. I had no plans for that. I don't know. I know now how it happened, why it happened, but I was going to the bank straight ahead. I was in the turnoff lane. I made a turn as though I was all in the police car. Soon as I made the turn, I noticed this car was parked like emergency-wise diagonal, not parallel parking, and there was an elevated sidewalk. And as I drove to that spot, it was just about 30 yards. When I drove to that spot, there was a man laying on the sidewalk that had his shirt open, and the color of his skin was bluish purple. And they had his shirt open, and they were trying to do CPR on him. Some lady was at his head. The officer was giving the chest compression, and the Spirit of God said, he's dead. The Spirit of God said, he's dead. I pulled to the left on a turnoff lane. And I walked over through the crowd of people. And I knelt at his feet. Glory. Glory to God. To God be the glory. I knelt at his feet. And when I knelt there, I began to pray. And then at that time, the paramedics came. And when the paramedics came, they wanted to give him one of those shock treatments. So you had to stand clear. So I stood up and I stood back. And they kept shocking him and shocking him. And I remember the lady said, no pulse, no pulse. And I just was there to kneel back down. And when I knelt back down, I began to pray for him. And I said, God, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. When I said, to God be the glory, his body started to shake. And he jumped. And he rolled over, and I got up, and all was on my mind, get out of here. But when I got up, I looked into the heavens, and I said, to God be the glory.
Yes.
Thank you.
It seemed like I had no. I didn't have any tension of the people around me. It was just like me and God. I was just taken up in the Spirit of God. I'm telling you that God will do things with you and take you places if you close to God, if you believe in God, if you pray and you fast, and your heart's desire is to be what God wants you to be. I told God, I said, God, when things were happening, when God used me the greatest, I didn't even belong to any church. But I said, God, I felt all alone. Show me how real you are. Let me know. Draw me closer to you. I want to be close to you. You close to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I got up and I said, to God be the glory. And I started to get away because I felt the presence of people want to pat me on the back. I didn't do nothing. That was God. Hallelujah. That was God. You wonder why I come up here and I believe this and believe that? Because I know God is real. I know what God can do. And God wants to show us. The church. God wants to show us. We don't want people coming into church and we dress and we act like the ones coming in. We got, there's got to be a change. They got to see a difference. They can't walk in that church and say, well, I don't need to be saved because they dress just like I'm dressed. They talk just the way I talk. They do the same things I do.
Amen.
All
right. Amen.
We have the ministry of reconciliation for all ministers. We're all ministers. You don't have to be behind a pulpit preaching. But God has given you a platform once we've been baptized in Jesus' name. And we have been filled with the Holy Ghost. God has called us and chosen us and given us a platform, a ministry of reconciliation. For Jesus Christ reconciled the world, brought the world back to God, and it's our job to do the same.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
And do we have a job to do? Let me get back to this. When I got up, I felt like people want to praise me. And it wasn't about me.
Right.
And I wasn't about to let them praise me. And I was stamping out. But somebody across said, what you say? I said, to God be the glory. I said, what you just now saw, how real God is.
Right.
I said, what you just saw, you saw God. And I'm not God. You saw what God can do. God just brought that man back to life.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I want to tell you, when you mean business with God, God will do business with you.
Yes, sir.
And as we say here, it says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness, my color, everything shook, my color changed, so I was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength, I became so weak. Yet heard I the voice of his word, and when I heard the voice of his word, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, in other words, somewhat perhaps fainting, and my face toward the ground. Next verse. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Woo! Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? A man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day we prayed, and the devil tried to deceive us, make us feel like God didn't hear us, or God doesn't answer prayers, God didn't come on my time, but God hears our prayers. The first moment we pray. And it says here, for Daniel, the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, because he was praying, he was fasting, God said, I heard you the first time you prayed. And he says, to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And he goes, and I am come for thy word. Why wasn't delivered? But see, it's on God's time.
Yeah.
God's time is not our time. God's ways are not our ways. God's not our thoughts. We sing the song. He's always on time.
Yeah.
I forget how the whole song goes. God's never late, but he's always something of that magnitude. But anyways, as we see, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a little deeper, I'm not getting into that, Persia withstood me. See, our weapons are not what?
Carnal.
Spiritual warfare.
All right.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, I was coming to answer you, but I was interrupted. I was delayed. But God heard you, though. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me. This is a whole new Bible class. If you get into this. Came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. The latter days. Even up. The latter days. The last days too. Even up to this day and time and beyond. The latter day, it grieved Daniel, it burdened him. For yet, and then there were many wars that they was to come even sooner. He says, the latter days, for yet the vision is for what?
Many days.
So we must pray without ceasing. The word of God says, in Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, 15-17, it talks about rendering evil, see that none render evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. That which is good. What is good? In verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray and not faint. That men ought always to pray. But see, the word of God says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Examine ourselves.
All right.
The prayers of the righteous. God's ear is open unto the righteous. For the Lord is far from the wicked. The Bible says, pray one for another. Yes. Not gossip. Don't be a busybody. Not whispering. Not talking about. But we need to pray one for another. Amen. Pray for each other. Amen. Because effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Turn to Philippians, my last scripture. Just want to end it on this note in Philippians. The fourth chapter. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. The Bible says, give thanks and praises in all things. It's no problem serving God when you've got money in your pocket, when you have food on your table, when you have clothing on your back, when all your friends love you, okay? Well, what about when those situations, when the lights didn't turn on, when there's no money in your pocket, when everybody's talking about you, all right, when there's no food on the table? Give thanks unto God. Your faith is being tested. But see, it's easy when everything's going all right. But God said, give thanks and praises in all things. Because God is molding and making us. Because we are the clay and he's the potter. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Amen. Let's say amen. Praise the Lord. This time, I guess, have the ministers come forth.